And you're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I'm your girl, Sheree Darianne. What's up, Savannah? So glad to be back with you today. I'm bringing you another very special guest, my girl, but hold on. I'm not going to give it away just yet. I'll bring it to you in just a moment. Want to remind you that the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And again, hello, what's up, what's up, what's up, Low Country, what's up, Coastal Empire, it's your girl Sheree, and yes, I brought her back. I have brought the one, the only, the ta-da of all ta-das.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey girl, how are you?
I am well.
You are? I'm so glad to see you. You know, we were supposed to be doing this last weekend. Oh, by the grace of God, we can do it this week. But you ended up in a fender bender, right?
Yes, much more than a fender bender, but God allowed me to walk away.
Well, how are you feeling?
I am feeling well. Walked away with just a couple of bruises, but nothing broken, and hitting a brick wall. I know that God had his arms wrapped around me.
Literally.
Literally.
Wow. Do you remember the moment? Can you just bring us into that space?
Yes, I can definitely bring you into that moment. So I was driving down 85, which is interstate, and the speed limit is about 65. The car let me know that something was going on with the tire. Before I can even make any moves to, you know, decelerate and get off the highway, it said, boom. Mm-hmm. I was on the frame. I was on the frame of the wheel. And next thing I know, I could not gain control of the wheel. And I said, Lord, you got this. And he 360'd me. I said, Lord, just don't let me hit anybody. I didn't hit a soul. 360'd on 85 with 65, you know, miles per hour traffic coming to me. And yeah. I was T-shaped. Towards the traffic, you know, and I went straight into the brick wall. I held myself firm and, you know, posted myself up on the steering wheel, and I embraced the hit, and I got up and I walked out, and it was nobody but God, because all the airbags, they deployed. And when I went left to kind of get myself out of the vehicle, I noticed that I was jammed in the car. Looked for my phone. By the time I looked back to the left, there was a guy standing on the side of the door, and he was helping me out of the car. And what was the odds? He said, hi, I'm Dr. such and such. And I'm like, wow, a doctor. A doctor's right here by my side. And he just said, I just want to know, are you familiar with the day of the week? You know, what season it is? What's your name? What's the date? You know, your date and birth. And I was like, I'm conscious. You know, I saw this thing straight through from beginning to end. I know that God got me. And it's confirmation knowing that you're a doctor standing here and released me out of a car, right? It could have been a lot different. Smoke was coming up out of the car, fluids is everywhere. And again, the traffic is coming to my car. I am horizontally towards the vertical traffic. So I know there was nobody but God. And I'm here. And my doctor's exit was like one exit away. I went straight to the doctor and told my husband, go upstairs and tell the doctor her favorite patient's outside. Can she see me? And my husband said, she just bust out laughing and said, send her up. And went in there and they took x-rays and she said, you're solid. Nothing's wrong. And I said, that was nothing but God. You know, all I can do is just break down and cry, because I knew that God continuously have his hands on me. So there's definitely a master plan and what he has over my life.
Oh, I have so many goosebumps, literally from head to toe. We were supposed to, we scheduled an interview with you. And moments before that interview, this accident occurred. There is so much.
see the car.
I posted your car and shared that with my audience to say, look, I don't know what Tada has to share with you guys, but something didn't want it to happen, didn't want you to share this message. And here you are, even more empowered. Thank God, walked away with just, I'm sure, soreness and some scratches. Brand new car, I understand, but that's the least of these. But I'm looking at you, not lying in a hospital bed, right? Chilling with her glasses on, her shades on, her new hairdo. Ladies, we're talking about a new hairdo, and she's smiling. My God, you're great. You're awesome. We honor you. We appreciate you. We love you, God. Thank you for saving her life.
And I appreciate you for being patient for us to get here.
Wow. No. Because you know what, Todd? This is not about us.
Absolutely.
This is about him. We're the vessels that he uses. And it's a privilege. Like, I don't got to do this. I get to do this.
Yeah.
I hope people really get that. You know, we want to do this. We choose to do this, right? Wow. So much you share with us that I really want to recap. And then I'm going to roll out the red carpet, obviously, and introduce you to this audience and our topic of today. But I just had to take a moment right now. You know, whenever we honor someone, we have a moment of silence, right? I just want to honor the fact that your soul is still with us. It's not that we're grieving your transition. Like, you are still present and willing to show up and serve. And so I just really wanted to honor that in my heart space. Here's what you said.
To know that I am transitioning, but I'm transitioning in a different way, right? Transitioning in a mighty different way. And that's why he protected me so I can continue this transformation.
And I love your demeanor. It seems so at peace, calm. I'm hearing ease, like you have submitted to the process. And I'm probably getting ahead of our conversation. Listen, we didn't even script this, but we didn't need to, because obviously God is all in it. Oh my God.
God is all in it. And it's funny you say that, Sheree, because when I crashed, like I said, I told God, hey, you got the will. That was the first thing that he spoke to me. Be at peace. It's okay. It's a car. And you know, I just go back to scripture, and I don't know scriptures off the top of my head, but I do know the word of God, right?
Yes.
And all I could think about in that word of God, you know, people were all on my Facebook page and, oh, I'm so glad you're okay, but the car. And I'm just like, it's just a car, you know? Yeah. And then I thought about the word of God, what he said is that, you know, what you praise and worship becomes your Lord. And I don't praise and worship the car.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I give glory to, right? I give glory to God protecting me in the car, right?
Yeah.
He will always replenish, right? As long as I salute him as my Lord and Savior. And that's where I give all the praise and glory to, is to God. You know, to God be the glory. He is what protected me. He just gave me an instrument, you know, to protect me as I went through that. And maybe that was the divine timing that, you know, he interceded in us meeting so that people can see the power of God's grace and God's mercy. Maybe we needed that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not trying to figure him out, though. How about that? I learned my lesson a long time ago. And there's no need for that. Let God be God, right?
All by himself.
Wow. I did want to unpack a couple of thoughts that really impacted me as you were just sharing. One, you said that you literally hit a brick wall. And when you did, you embraced the hit.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I saw it from beginning to end. Like, all I can say is, like you said, wow. Like, you know, to be able to walk out of that car, I mean, it is a wow factor, right? And I just tell you how God, his timing is just perfect. I was on a call. So thank God for the audio. Thank God for the technology that Bluetooth saved me. Because again, when the car hit, all the airbags deployed 360 all the way around me. And when it deployed from your what is this, the glove compartment area, right? It buried my phone. My phone was in the chair because, again, I'm on Bluetooth. I didn't need the handset. And the Bluetooth knocked it to the floor. And because of the impact and the way that the airbags were set up, I could not get to my phone. But thank God I was on the phone with someone. And my friend, she went and she called, you know, my husband, because I didn't have a phone to access anybody. And because we have phones, we don't know people's phone numbers, right? I didn't know what to do. And thank God I was already aligned on a phone call. You know, I could have been trapped in, it could have been so many different ways that it could have ended, right? It could have just been me out of here, or it could have been me trapped into this car, but God sent an angel, right? It could have been me being able to get out of the car, but can't make a phone call because I didn't have a phone. But he prepared all of those things prior to the accident. They didn't just happen, you know? God had already ordained that time, and it was a reason. And for me, I walked away from that God said, time is everything. You know, time is everything. And I looked at that, you know, I'm always in a rush. And I think we hit on this a little bit earlier in our conversation and talking about the stress and the anxiety and, you know, and it's, why do I need to be stressed? Why do I need to be overwhelmed? I don't need to. Time is everything, you know? So it just told me to just be patient. The Bible says, be patient, you know, be anxious for nothing. So that's where I am, you know, and it's just like, maybe I needed that boom. You know, to just recenter myself, recenter my thought process, and, you know, come back again.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, this, maybe I needed to hear this, you know. Oftentimes when you're the host, you're on, you know, it's like the spotlight's on you, right? But I'm really receiving all of what you're saying today. Not that I don't on the other interviews, but if I got to be selfish in this one, to refill my cup, if you will, I'm doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And I do that unapologetically because we need it, you know? Absolutely. And it's landing. Like, everything you're saying is really in a very transparent way. And that's what this is about. That's what Courageous Conversation is about, being naked, unashamed, and unapologetic with our truth. And I'm just sharing mine in this moment. And that's the thing, like you said, why do we need to be stressed or overwhelmed, be anxious for nothing? And in this moment, sometimes we need that reset button. You know, sometimes we can be hard-headed, and sometimes some people need a larger bang upside the head, obviously. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom. Sometimes you hit a brick wall. It doesn't matter. Whatever it takes to reset that button. And I'm going to take this time, instead of having to be in a position where I hit a brick wall or hit rock bottom again, because it's not like I'm, you know, not familiar with that, I am. But if I can embrace this conversation, this very courageous conversation, I don't need to have to go there to embrace the hit. Let me just center myself. Let me be fully present in this conversation, this space and time, right? The importance of time. Time is everything, as you were stating. If I could just take this time, and I say that to speak to our audience that are listening right now, don't just hear this interview, but hear this interview.
Absolutely. Process this interview.
Yeah. Say la. Pause and calmly think on the words that we're speaking. Whatever lands in your heart or resonate in your spirit, in your soul, honor that. Recognize that, observe that, don't judge that, you know? And if it repeats itself in your thought, that's for you. Hold on to that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. But then you also said you were on I-85. Where are you actually located? Where is I-85? Because obviously we're the local.
So I'm in the Charlotte area of North Carolina.
Okay.
And I was headed southbound. I was actually going to see a venue for a launch, if you will, that I am putting together for a new venture that I am about to show the world. So look out for that. So, yes.
And this was the interruption, or tried to be the disruption. to that
absolutely,
next thing.
Absolutely.
Wow. I love that you also stated that the car let you know something was wrong.
It did.
Yeah, there's so much just from the accident or the incident that are so many synchronicities, if you will. If those are the signs, God was right there, just if we're paying attention to the signs. The car was letting you know before it actually occurred that something was off.
Was putting my mind in position to embrace. And one of the things that I always say, I think I shared with you, my son, he was in an accident as well a couple of weeks ago. And my son is not on the East Coast, he's on the West Coast. And one of the things that I had to learn to pray, and on this journey, I just want to share with the audience is that, I don't know where you are spiritually, but on this journey, God is teaching me how to be intentional. If you don't hear anything else, I want the audience to hear, be intentional about your prayer. Be very intricate in your prayer. And one of the things that I'm learning in this season is that I ask God, because we are human, we are flesh, right? We're very impulsive people. And I ask God to just give me the emotional stability to be able to go through whatever it is that, you know, is, you know, coming my way. Allow me to emotionally be able to embrace it without being emotional in the situation, if that makes sense. So just not being able to be vulnerable, but, you know, because there's a time for the vulnerability in that moment. I needed to be firm. And I thank God for that. Yes, I just wanted to be stable in that moment. I didn't want any vulnerability to be present so that I can do what I needed to do. And then when I had a private moment, you know, that's the time for me to be vulnerable. There's a time and place for everything. And that wasn't the time. You know, I needed to be present for what God was showing me. There was a lesson. And what I got at the end of that was, it was just a car, right? And I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it was like I always wanted this shiny black car. And at the end of it, God said, no, I want to take you out of the darkness and into the light. So I went from a black car, and God blessed me with a white car. And that's how I look at it, going from the darkness to the light, because that's what I'm coming out of that darkness. And
yeah,
walking into the light, you know, it's a new season. White is pure.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. You were talking about your son also being in an accident and not being on the East Coast, and then being mindful, very intentional about our prayers. It's reminding me of my daughter, my youngest, my baby girl. My baby is 26, 27. I can't remember. 27. Destiny. Name is Destiny. And she had an accident in January, January 8th. And I love the stability moment that you were just sharing about being able to be emotionally strong or secure in the midst of the chaos or the crisis in that moment, so you don't just react, but you can respond in a healthy manner. And I remember getting the call. Something phenomenal had just taken place, answer to prayer, if you will. And moments after that occurred, my phone rang with my daughter screaming, my 27-year-old daughter screaming, mom, mom, come get me, mom, come get me, mom. She was in the middle of the interstate, like in the median between four lanes, right? On I-95 here in South Carolina, and it was raining and it was nighttime. She'd gotten off work. God only knows what happened, but the car hydroplane. And by the grace of God, it looked as if he, with his hand, had picked up that Jeep and sat it in the middle of 95. Stuck in the mud, but she was safe. The only thing that happened to that car is it had a tire blowout on the front driver's side. Not a scratch.
God is good. God is good, you know? I mean, it's, and people, oh, man. Me and my cousin, we were just talking this weekend, and he'd been through some things, and he stopped me and he talked to me. And he said, You know, Todd, when I really started trusting this God thing, you know, like, I can't believe how real it is. This is real, but you really got to walk it. And I'm like, it's the God honest truth. When you walk it, or if you're focused, right? If you're focused, if you're tuning in, if you're honing in on what this spiritual journey is, oh my God, you can't help but to see how amazing God is in the process. Like, God is, man, I mean, there's no words for him. Like, he's just so powerful. I mean, and I can't share it enough because people have to experience them for itself.
Like, right.
Even in the hardest moments, right? You got to be able to see the blessing. And I know that's why he allowed me to stay sane, because it wasn't about me. It was about me being able to come back and share the word of God and how he protected me. How he covered me.
And I thought you had something to hold on to. When you couldn't hold on to the vehicle that you were in, you could hold on to someone so much greater than that situation, so much greater than that moment.
Absolutely. You could, and it just still just put chills in my body because, again, I mean, the audience, you can't see the car, but this car, and I had to go live, you know, a couple of days ago because I had to go see the car.
Yeah.
Literally, the pictures.
No justice.
Absolutely nothing for the car. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. And I'm like, God, you brought me out of this. I mean, it hit so hard. I hit the front. The trunk was stuck. The trunk didn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I was locked in this car.
Yeah. Just think about the reverse, the front of that vehicle versus the back of the vehicle. It's just so many, you know, hypotheticals that we could think about. But by the grace of God, that didn't occur. But think about this, Tom. You experienced that alone. And I want you to speak to our audience about, we don't know where they are spiritually, right? We are in a post-pandemic, you know, lingering pandemic situation, not just nationally, but globally around the world. What about those people that don't yet know him and have to experience it by themselves, as you had to experience that very scary moment? Scary for some, but if you have him, you have the peace of mind, the peace in your heart. Why don't you talk to them about experiencing that for themselves? Because that's what you said. You can't know him unless you experience it for yourself.
You gotta know him for yourself. I just want to, and again, I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards, but go to this Bible, right? Look up, I believe it's 2 Chronicles. Do you have a Bible in front of you?
I'll look it up, girl.
2 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 7, verse 13. He talks about everything that we're living right now. He talks about the pandemic. He talks about all these things. And if you don't know him for yourself, I am begging you to get to know him, because this is the only way out of this pandemic, right? If we can't see God in this, I don't know what we're looking at, because he's showing himself. He's showing himself. Like, we're being wiped out. You know, we have something that is like a flu, right? That is taking people lives, right? And people are not taking it seriously. And it's like, until it hits close to home. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, to watch my child, to see me in action, you know, because sometimes I can be a little irate, you know, because I got something I got to say and you're going to listen, you know? And, I'm with the board. And again, we don't know what people are spiritually. So because what I have passion doesn't mean you're going to have passion, right? But I'm going to make sure you feel my passion. You're going to feel where I am. And we were at the school and I'm like fighting with them. Like, you don't understand. Like, we can't have these kids in the school. You know, we can't contain the virus. You are a man. You're trying to be God. God, you can't stop what he's going to do. God is going to continue to allow this pandemic to take place until we recognize him as God all by himself. And it's so crazy. I stood up and I'm talking to these people and I'm telling them, like, listen, we're worrying about a camera. We're worrying about there's not enough desks. why not keep the cameras with the laptops that we purchased, right? Forget about the desk. Let's use these cameras as, if it's not broke, let's not fix it, right? And let's everybody stay in their own environment. Let's get the world back where we need it to be, in our own environment. Let's put the monies into teaching these teachers how to be confident to teach virtually, because a lot of times these teachers are quitting, leaving, walking out, frustrated, aggravated, has families to think about because of lack thereof the confidence to be able to teach. And after I proposed that, one day later, my daughter came and it's like she's paying attention and she's watching politics happen. She's also close to Jesus. And she's like, Mommy, Jesus, answer prayers. The people are listening to you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm driving, so I can't read this letter. And she's like, I'm going to read the letter to you. They are shutting the school down. They are shutting the school down. They said that they can't do this by themselves. And I said, yes, because God is going to show up, whether you want them to or not. He's going to show up. And people just need to pay attention because he's already showing up in their lives, right?
Yeah.
It's just now being intentional to pay attention to be able to receive when he's participating and partaking in your life because he's there. He's active. But God said he's not going to force himself. He's not going to force himself on anybody. You got to be willing and able. So I just I recommend to everybody, just pay attention. Pay attention.
So I pulled up 2 Chronicles 7:14, which states, if my people who are called by my name, is that what you're referencing? Was there a different scripture?
So go all the way through it. Do you see anything about the pandemic? I don't know if it's Chronicles 1 or Chronicles 2, but I believe it's 7. Let me just pull it up really quick for you so I can take you to it. I was all in it earlier. Let's see if I can find it really fast. Yes, it's Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles, and it is, so if you go from 13 all the way down to 18, if you will, it talks about it. It talks about, you know, everything that we're going through. He talks about the plague. If you're looking at 13, he's going to send the plague among. Yeah, so I mean, if you read into that, and he tells you, you need to pray and seek his face, turn away from the wicked, right? So he's telling us all these things. So if they can read 2 Chronicles 7:13-18, it's all right there. It's all right there what we're living today.
Well, I'm not going to give them an excuse. So we're going to read it again, 2 Chronicles 7:13-18, and here's what it says. It says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land and send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. 16, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. 17, as for you, if you walk before me faithfully as David your father did and do all I command, and observe my decrees and laws. And finally, 18, I will establish your royal throne as I coveted with David, your father, when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. Now that is, obviously with the Bible, there's several versions, but that's
from the NIV.
NIV, New International Version. So there's so many versions that you can read that. I love the message because it kind of slaps you in the face. But I think to your point,
everything that he needs, he's telling you. Yeah. He's telling you how we are rescued.
Like, yeah.
It's nothing they can put on a CNN or any other
news. Yeah, but we're part of that. We can reverse the curse, if you will, of what's happening. But it's up to us. To make a decision, to do we want to do that? And again, I love the part that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And then God wants to heal our land. He does. But we are part of either the problem or the solution. With that being said, you guys probably heard my timer go off. We're right at the halfway mark. I want to remind you, you're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. We're going to take a short break for some announcements, Savannah, and we will be right back with you.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners and by Sentient Bean. Sentient Bean has been serving fair trade coffee, thoughtfully sourced food, and other items to the community since 2001. They offer curbside pickup, delivery, and online ordering as well. They are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily and are located at 13 East Park Avenue on the south side of Forsyth Park. More information can be found at sentientbean.com.
And we are back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. And again, I am on with, ta-da, Tatisha L. Phelps. Hey, girl, you still on the line with me?
Yes, I am. Not going anywhere.
Awesome sauce. So, you know, we were talking about the accident. By the grace of God, you're still here with us today. That was quite an experience. But the interview was about something different. It was actually about your own book, His Life, Our Story. I forgot to hold onto me while holding onto him.
Yeah.
And we want to jump into this book in just a moment, but let me properly roll out the red carpet and let Savannah know who they've been listening to all this time. Y'all heard me say ta-da a lot. And she is. She brings it so real, so raw, so authentic, so transparent. Love her so much. She was on just a few weeks ago with a group of authors in another anthology that she helped compiled. And she's back to share her own story, one of many. I was actually born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, but relocated to North Carolina in 2010. She is a charismatic yet bold educator and motivator that loves to inspire people. As a child of God, wife, and mother, she is a pillar in her community who loves to travel, fellowship, and create memories that will last a lifetime. She has a strong understanding that helping and serving others is the gift that keeps on giving. In her own words, it is me, more than what you thought and all of what you see. I am me. Blessed and highly favored. Thank you for your love and support. In advance, I'm going to interject Miss Tatisha L. Phelps. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Awesome. So tell us about this book that I've had the pleasure of reading, His Life, Our Story, I Forgot to Hold On to Me While Holding On to Him.
Let me first let the audience know, this is me, ta-da, because once you meet me, you will never forget me. And that's how I became sisters now with Sheree.
Yes.
That was my introduction to her, and we are stuck like glue forever.
We are so indeed. So, Todd, guess what? When I first started reading this book, there was something about, I asked you the question and I just jumped back in, right? That's that hopscotch mentality, double dutching, you know, we're just playing around. But there was something, I think there was a, you ever watch like a suspense or a thriller movie and it doesn't end, or there's something that you're looking for and it doesn't happen, it's totally different?
Yes.
I think that was my experience, I think. I know that was my experience. Now, granted, I'm only halfway through because I started reading it while on vacation and came back. But in the beginning of it, and I don't want to give it away. It's like a spoiler alert. I don't want it to be a spoiler alert because I want you to share where people can go to get a copy of your book. But I was thinking one thing with this whole, I forgot to hold on to me while holding on to him. I thought, and it, unless I'm wrong, I thought you didn't hold on to you. I thought you held so hard onto him, and we'll talk about him. I'll let you talk about him as much as you'd like to here, so people get an idea what who is the him in the story. I thought that you were holding on so tightly to him that you lost yourself. But as we were talking about God in here, it seems to me as if your aha moment was you were never on your own, that still, even then, God had you.
Yes, he did. And it did work in both ways, because that was a part of my darkness, if you will. Inside of my book, I have a line that I say, and I don't remember it verbatim, but I say God used a man in prison as a decoy to get my attention, right? So yes, love has no prejudice. I was in love with this man since the seventh grade, and I am now 40. I won't say the number, but I'm older. And I knew this man, and I knew his heart, and I knew that he was not what he was incarcerated for. I knew he was not what the world thought of him, and I knew there was something great in him. And we were actually together the night he got in trouble, and I resented him. I was like, I don't care what he goes through. I'm not going to be there. And one day he gave me a call and said, well, can you just come see me? And of course, like we women do, I'm going to put on my pretty girl outfit. I'm going to see him, see what he met, where he messed up. And I'm never going back. And I never went back. I did go back. I said I was never going to go back, but I never stopped. I did go back. I never stopped going. It became a life that I inherited. You know, it became a lifestyle for me. I knew that the weekends, hey, listen, I was a hairstylist full time. My clients knew you can come any day of the week, but Saturdays, I'm not available. I would drive hours and hours. And when I say hours, I'm talking about 4 to 5 hours, just depending on the time. And when it came time for him to come home, I was so consumed with making sure that he was going to be straight that I started losing myself. I became very dark. I didn't understand what was going on with me. I just knew that I needed him to be okay. Before I started realizing there was something wrong with me, it was 7 years later.
After he
7 years. This was 7 years of him being home, us married. And let me just make sure I let the audience know, I do not believe in marrying inside of the prison walls. I do not believe in marriage inside of the prison walls. And if I mean anything to this man, he's going to love me when he come out of the prison walls. And if it still stands, we will get married outside of the prison walls. And we did. We got married outside of the prison walls in seventh year. I didn't know who I was looking at in the mirror. And then I learned and I started doing the research. I was depressed. I was dark, you know? I did so many different things to make sure that he was straight. I didn't realize how I was moving because I was moving very automatically. It was just a natural movement, you know? Whatever needed to happen, it happened. I went from surrendering my career as a hairstylist to move to North Carolina just to give him a change of environment to increase his probability of success after prison. That in itself, you know, created this darkness, because only thing I've ever known since 13 years old was how to do hair. North Carolina, they're about their money. So when I got here, they wanted me to do everything all over again, you know, as far as my license are concerned. I didn't have time for that. I needed money, you know. I didn't have time to go to school, something that I've gotten licensed while I was in high school. You know, I'm a grown woman now. I have this, you know, I have a 14-year-old son, and now I'm pregnant.
Yeah. I
have a new baby on the way, you know, because that was a part of my contract, my marriage contract, is that I will give my husband a baby, you know? And I'm like, Lord, I can't go back to school right now. I need an income. And I couldn't find work anywhere. So it was like the life that I knew, this is when God started showing me it's not about him. You know, you praise and you worship me as long as I was giving you. You got everything, right? You got the luxury cars, the fabulous house. You got everything you can ever think about. But let me see how well you're going to praise me when I take it all away.
Mm.
Will you still love me the same way? Will you still honor me the same way? And I had to stop and I had to think about that. And the journey is real. I had said to God when my husband came home, maybe his second year of being home, because I couldn't get pregnant. Again, that was a part of the contract that I would give this man a baby. And for 2 years, I couldn't get pregnant, and I didn't understand, why can't I get pregnant? And I said, again, as I said to you guys in the beginning of the interview, be very intentional, be very intricate in your words that you speak to God, because God is listening, and God mm-hmm. is going to honor your words. And I remember telling God, Lord, if you just let me have a baby with my husband, I don't care what my financial situation is, God, I'm going to have this baby. He put me to the test, and he stripped me of everything. The savings disappeared because, of course, this is a man coming home from prison. He's in a new state. No one wants to hire. I'm here now pregnant because we asked God for this baby. I can't work anywhere. I'm a liability. What do we do? You know, I went from having a 700 credit score. That thing went down to maybe a 7 with no zeros behind it. And I'm like, well, what do we do? Yes, what do we do? And,
yeah.
and God started doing the work. And it was like, and when I say do the work, he was doing a work in me. You know, the man, I tell everybody, don't look at the man with the prison, right? Don't look at him, because he was the reason I was able to see God at his best. If it wasn't for the man that was physically behind bars, I would have never experienced being mentally behind bars. I became mentally locked up. I became mentally in bondage. What does that look like? To be dark, to be confused, not know where to go, not know who to turn to look at everyone as, you know, an issue or the problem. You know, it's like everybody was against me. That's how I felt. Nobody cares. But God said it wasn't for everybody. I am all that you need. You're looking for people. You're looking for man. And I'm right here. I'm just waiting on you. God was just tapping his fingers. I'm just waiting on you. When are you going to be ready? And I was like, wow. You know, and it wasn't until the 10th year. So the 7th year, I realized, you know, what was going on. But it wasn't until the 10th year
yeah.
that it really resonated and said, hey, he's calling you. You better answer. And again, God is not going to force you to be with him. And I just couldn't take it anymore. And I just said, Lord, I want to be free from this. And I had to, again, be very intentional, be very intricate in my prayers and my conversations. And it's okay. And I want people to understand that, listen, you talk to God the same way you talk to Cherie. You know,
right.
I was angry.
Just
with
like
God.
These courageous conversations.
Absolutely. I told God I was angry. You know, I was upset with him. You know, how could you do this to me? And, you know, I had all these conversations. And he was able to give me what I needed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and he was able to bring me back and to be freed from that darkness, which goes back to that car, like that dark. I kept wanting these black cars, and it's like, No.
So you were drawing it to yourself unconsciously.
Absolutely. And people need to understand that. The people, places, and things that we interact with, things that we listen to, those things play a pivotal role in where you are. And you want to make sure that you're very intentional about what you ingest, you know, what you digest, you know, who you bring around you, why they around you. Some people may be an assignment, right? Mm-hmm. Some people might not be your assignment. You got to know when to hold and when to go. Like you got to know, you know, what position you're playing, because if not, it's so easy to get caught up, you know, in the wrong things, because again, we're flesh, right? We're flesh. Some of us want to help everybody. Some of us don't care about anybody. But there's going to come a time when you're going to have to care, and a time when you're not going to be able to care. And for me, God allowed me to care for someone so much that he said, now I have to teach you how to love and care for you. So when I talk about I forgot to hold on to myself while holding on to him, it's a true statement. I forgot how to love me. I forgot what self-love was. I forgot what self-care was. I forgot what self-worth was.
Wow.
And when I started to talk to God, I'm talking about I was one who wanted to wear the lavish clothes, the name brand shoes and pocketbooks, and all those things mattered. I'm at a position where none of those things matter, right? I can write my own name on my shirt and I'm good. I'm okay, right? Because it's about that peace. God supplies all of my needs. The mindset, right? People have to understand the mindset has to shift. The mindset has to shift. And that's why I teach now the three elements of who I am, and what I teach is mental health is real. And I tell people, and so are you. So I teach mental health, understanding what depression is, understanding what anxiety is, understanding what PTSD is. A lot of people think, like me, I was very ignorant, you know, what is PTSD? You know, oh, that's people who go to the military. But it's not. It's anything traumatic that happened to you. You know, things that you try to block out of your life. And I didn't understand any of these things. And long behold, that was what pushed me into depression, was looking at my husband and not understanding the signs of he was struggling with PTSD. Well, it's not called PTSD coming out of prison. It's called post-incarceration syndrome. It's about him being readjusted back into society. But because I didn't understand what was going on with him, I didn't understand what was going on with me. And it pushed me into that darkness. And then the second thing that I teach is once we're mentally sound, you know, I love to teach people financial literacy because we have to know how to prepare, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared for that storm. I made the monies, but I spent the monies too, right? I had a little bit of savings, but it wasn't enough savings to take me over and take me through. So I love to make sure that people understand how important it is to spend, how to pay your bills, but it's most important to know how to invest and save.
Yeah.
And then once I'm able to teach those different things and we have those stable in our lives, I love to teach entrepreneurship. And again, understanding your worth. So if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, I teach you how to climb the corporate ladder and understand your worth, right? For me, the way that came about is because my husband came from the prison walls back into society, I knew that he would hear a lot of no's before he would hear yes. As a young girl from the age of 13, I knew that I would never work for anyone, and God has truly blessed me. I've never worked for anyone. But one time when I moved to North Carolina, it was the worst feeling in the world. I felt very robotic, and it set me into a coma, honestly, literally, because that's not the way God prepared me. Mm-hmm. And having that skill, that skill set allowed me to be able to learn how to create income for other people. So that was something that was close to my heart, to make sure that this man did not feel inadequate, but feel worthy enough to be called the head of our house. And he is the head of our house. right? But I heard something and I walked away with, and I keep it. He's the head, but I'm the neck, because the head can't do anything without the neck.
That's so true. That's so true. Listen, there's so much I know that you can share. Believe it or not, our hour has zoomed by. I do want to recap really, really quickly to give, you know, just some objection to today's call. I want people to really understand the story that you're talking about. First of all, her book is His Life, Our Story. It is based on a true story. And the theme is, or a subtitle, I Forgot to Hold On to Me While Holding On to Him. Ta's story is about her falling in love, obviously, with her seventh grader. Her seventh grade that's not even high school, sweetheart, is it? No, it's like middle school, isn't it?
Elementary, yes.
Elementary school. Anyway, she fell in love with this guy in seventh grade. Long story short, life happened. He ended up being in prison. They reconnected and ultimately got married. And she's telling the story from her perspective and their journey. And you should definitely get your hand on a copy of this book. Ta, with that being said, how can they get in contact with you?
www.hislifeourstory.com. You can get your copy there. You can also follow me on Lock and Key. So it's LNKPWA. That is my tagline on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can follow me there.
That's awesome. And that's so easy, Savannah. Hislifeourstory.com. Please visit that website. And unfortunately, we're down to the end of the hour. Ta, what's on your heart? What do you want to leave with our listening audience today?
That your story is not my story. My story is not your story. But in all of our stories, we may not share the same story, but we do share the same pain, stress. Remember, self-love is the best love. And to always make sure that you're not giving so much of yourself to where there's nothing left for you. Make sure you keep yourself full. Self-love is the best love. I mean, that's the only thing, the best thing that I can ever tell you, is to make sure that you have enough left for you.
Listen, I think that's a perfect segue to today's show, because I was very selfish with my self-care, self-love, and self-worth at the beginning of the show, and was just saying how I was taking from this conversation to refill my cup. And my darling, my sister, Tada, you have just refueled me. I was running on empty, and because of you, I am better today. So thank you. I wanted to just love on you publicly. I am so appreciative. You're a breath of fresh air and so much energy. I am so grateful to our God that you are still here with us. And anytime you want to come back on this platform, you have an open invitation.
Thank you, Sheree.
You're welcome, my darling. And that's another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I want to remind you that the viewpoints expressed in the preceding program were not necessarily those of WRUU, its staff, or its employers. Thank you. Have a great day.